This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Israel won't last long, says Khomeini there in Iran. Israel cannot be saved from annihilation, says an Iranian army commander. In response, Netanyahu warns of a preemptive attack as Tehran speaks of Israel's annihilation. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and today on Viewpoint, we take a look at Iran. We take a look at Israel. We take a look at the context in which this is taking place. Yes, the political context, not only in America, but throughout the Middle East and also throughout the West and the UN. All of that here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And today, our conversation should, for the serious listener, have a significant impact on your thinking about the times in which we live and the response that you and those you care for should be carrying out. So again, I welcome you to Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. And from Israel National News came this report. Khomeini has called for total war against Israel. It must be said that the command of evil in the Middle East lies in Khomeini's hands and that the people of Iran hope Khomeini is Israel's next target. Well, it just might be that Khomeini would be Israel's next target. In fact, the news today indicates from both Benjamin Netanyahu and his associate Gallant that indeed Israel is preparing a very unusual attack on Iran that will be a total surprise and devastating, that they won't even know where it comes from. Now, that's quite interesting conversation, quite interesting warning coming from Israel. But indeed, if you look at what Israel did with regard to Nasrallah, what Israel did with regard to the 4,000 that were experienced the attack on their cell phones and other devices, had no clue what was coming. It appears that Israel has abilities that few recognize, and insight into unique military responses that few are able to comprehend. So we take a look at Iran today. We take a look at the world. We take a look at Iran's intelligence community. And an article that came out with the World Tribune just yesterday, New Armageddon World Order. Israel is deemed to be bad. The Ayatollah Khomeini as a moral authority. Really, in the West, it seems increasingly, the Western world and its governments, its leaders and presidents and prime ministers, including Joe Biden, don't really much have any strength against Khomeini and want to play cool with him and want to try to negotiate some sort of niceties with Khomeini so that Benjamin Netanyahu cannot carry out another chapter of what he did and has done and is still doing with Hezbollah in Lebanon. We're looking at something very significant. The Islamic Republic of Iran proudly stands as the paymaster of Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis, and have taken the fight to a new level. This, in turn, has created Armageddon-type predictions for a wider Middle East war, which could directly include Iran, declares a writer from the World Tribune. His name is John Metzler. In a rare but significant sermon, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader, stressed that his country's missile strikes on Israel were correct, logical, and lawful. Yet the aging Ayatollah sits on a domestic powder keg in his own country, teetering Islamic Republic. In other words, the majority of people in Iran don't like, in fact, very much dislike, if not hate, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. But he has dictatorial rule. And dictators rule, notwithstanding the will of the people. But after Israel's killing of Hezbollah against the elusive kingpin Hassan Nasrallah in Beirut, the conflict now has entered a new phase. Lebanon exploded. Israeli ground forces went into southern Lebanon while Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards attacked Israel with 200 ballistic missiles. Israel must respond. Israel will respond, and it's about ready to happen. Who knows when? But it will happen. The UN Security Council has become immersed in the Middle East crisis and deadlocked along predictably political lines. There's a widening global sympathy for the Palestinian cause that has gone beyond the usual suspects and now encompasses both the global South and even many close American allies such as France, Japan, Ireland, and Spain, who backed a non-binding General Assembly resolution demanding Israel end its unlawful presence in the occupied Palestinian territory. Well, it isn't occupied Palestinian territory. It's occupied by Arabs who call themselves Palestinians, but it's Israel's land, according to the Bible, that is. Now Iran's ballistic missile attacks on Israel have upped the ante and taken the crisis closer to the brink. Secretary General Guterres of the UN condemned the massive missile attacks by Iran on Israel. But what are they going to do about it? Nothing. Because they're still holding out, trying to hold Gaza against Israel. The world is beset by a sudden swirl of crises and calamities, many of which have yet to be discovered, says the author of this article in the World Tribune. So, we want to take a little bit of a look here at Iran. I had an uncle, an aunt, and an uncle who were medical missionaries to Iran for many, many years. Many years. In my earlier years as a child. And so I have a certain amount of connection there, but they were there when the Shah was in control. But in 1979, the Islamic Revolution took place. And Ali Khamenei took over and has ruled ever since. In fact, one of their first actions was to take somewhere 40-some Americans hostage. You may remember that. I remember the pastor of our church in Southern California had a son who was part of that hostage, and we were reported on that every week. That was 1979. It's today now. What is Iran? We'll talk about that in just a moment.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
It's possible to learn a lot about a country from its flag, and Iran's flag was adopted in 1980, the year after the Islamic Revolution, by the country's Islamic government. The white strip contains the national emblem, which is the word for Allah, in formal Arabic script. The words Allah Akbar, God is great, are repeated 11 times on both the green and red stripes. So you've got green at the top, white in the middle, and red at the bottom. In the green and red stripes, 11 times are repeated the words Allah Akbar, God is great. So that tells you, this is the Islamic Republic. This is the Islamic Revolution. You may recall a very interesting character here in the United States, Louis Farrakhan, made a journey to the Middle East a number of years ago and went to the various Islamic countries. And the place where he really connected was in Iran. And he met with the president of Iran, I believe who then was Rafsanjani, and he said this. This is Louis Farrakhan, head of Nation of Islam here in America, said to Rafsanjani, the president of Iran, Iran is the vanguard of the Islamic Revolution. In other words, if you were to take and use the word vanguard and apply it to a spear, it would be the head of the spear. So, Iran, he said, was the head of the spear of the Islamic Revolution. The Islamic Revolution to accomplish what? Well, according to Louis Farrakhan, in his many addresses here in the United States, he said Iran and Islam is going to rule the world. In fact, he took the passage of Scripture that talks about the rock coming out and destroying there in the book of Daniel. He said that really is Islam coming in and destroying the other nations and setting up the Islamic Caliphate to rule the world. That's the viewpoint. That happens to be the viewpoint in general of Ali Khamenei and those who rule with him in Iran, that Iran is destined to rule the world and to gather together the Shiite Muslims to take dominion over the world. Now, viewpoint determines destiny, friends. So you may think that's foolish. You may think that's ridiculous. You may think that's impossible. But it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what they think. Because what they think is determining what they do. What they're doing is what they're thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a nation thinks in its heart, or those who are controlling a nation think in their heart, so they are. So, as, for instance, Joe Biden thinks in his heart concerning globalism, that's what they're pushing. As Kamala Harris thinks in her heart, so she's pushing. As Donald Trump thinks in his heart, so he's pushing. So he thinks that his job as an American president is to make America great. In other words, to do the best that he can to cultivate Americans, the American economy, and everything else, the health in our country and so on, for the further best interests, not of the world, but of America. But that's antithetical to Joe Biden and to Kamala Harris and those who follow them. They believe that globalism is what is really the movement of our world today. And they want to lead America into a new world government, a new world order, the Great Reset, all of which is set for 2030. So the timing that we're looking at here is significant. We're at, moving toward the end of 2024. And if you subtract 2024 from 2030, that leaves somewhere around 6 years, doesn't it? In that neighborhood. So there's a lot that's going to take place, already is taking place, but a lot more that is going to take place in the next few years. And starting in 2025 with an inauguration of a president, a new president, whoever that happens to be, add 4 years to that, and it leads you up to 2029, right before 2030. So what's happening in America is very significant in juxtaposition to what's happening in Israel, what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening with Iran, what's happening in the world with regard to the Great Reset and United Nations Agenda 2030. You see, everybody's looking at 2030. Now, I can't say for sure that God is looking specifically at 2030, but he could be. It wouldn't be surprising because that's exactly 2,000 years, exactly 2,000 years after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection in 30 AD. So we're looking at a time frame here that is significant and should be taken as significant by anyone with a biblical viewpoint. Now, I'm not asking you to make specific conclusions about any particular piece of information that we're sharing here today. The purpose of the information is to enable us to embrace a deeper understanding in our own minds and hearts of the times in which we live that should, for a true follower of Jesus Christ, cause us to embrace all of Jesus' parables, all of his warnings concerning the end of the age, that he that endures to the end shall be saved, the warnings and preparation of Peter and John and James and Paul. All of these should come into ever-increasing intensity in our consideration that should define how we respond and how we live. What we do with our children, what we do with our grandchildren, what we do with our congregations, what is the emphasis of our life. You see, Khomeini and the Islamic Revolution is dedicated to the kingdom of Allah. The kingdom of Allah. Allah Akbar, God is great. Allah is not the God of Christians. Allah is not the God of Jews. Allah is the God that wants to destroy Christians and destroy Jews, in the words of Muhammad himself. So that's the reason why Israel must be defeated. That's the reason why America must be annihilated. And so Iran is the chief enemy of Israel and America because it's intent on coalescing all Shiite Muslims, and then by implication, all Sunni Muslims into a Muslim power base called a Muslim caliphate to rule the world, a kingdom of Islam. That's what we're looking at. We need to understand it that way. It's not just a bunch of individual little things going on out there with rockets here and rockets there, and so on. We have to understand the bigger picture. So, in order to do that, we need perhaps to understand a bit more about Iran itself. It was not called Iran until 1935. It was known as Persia. That's its biblical name, Persia. Now, if we understand that, then we can understand a bit more going back as to where Iran fit in biblical prophecy, in the working out of biblical history as it is portrayed there in the Bible. So until 1935, Iran was known as Persia. Arians settled in Persia around 2000 BC. The Persian king Cyrus the Great founded the Achaemenid dynasty in 550 BC. The Persian Empire fell to Alexander the Great in 331 BC. See, first it was the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar, then the Persian Empire under Cyrus the Great and Darius, and then the Persian, excuse me, Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire came in and took over the Persian Empire. Persian rule was restored then by the Sassanids in AD 2024. And Arabs conquered Persia in AD 641. When was that? AD 641? Well, that's telling us that Muhammad was now on the scene. When Muhammad came on the scene, everything changed. For the next two centuries, Persia was the center of Islamic art and architecture. The Seljuk Turks conquered Persia in the 11th century, but in 1220 AD, the land was overrun by the Mongols. Then the Safavid dynasty came from 1501 to 1722, was founded by the Shah Ismail, who established the Shiite theocratic principles of modern Iran. So that goes all the way back now to the 1700s. They expelled the Afghan invaders, and his despotic rule, that is, Nader Shah, was noted for imperial ambition. Then there was the gradual decline of the Persian Empire in the face of European expansion. Britain and Russia competed for influence in the area. Then came the discovery of oil in southwest Iran that led to the Russian and British division of Iran in 1907. In a 1919 treaty, Iran effectively became a British protectorate. In 1921, Reza Khan seized power in a military coup and established the Pahlavi dynasty and was elected Shah in 1925. He annulled the British treaty and began the process of modernization. And that led eventually to another Shah who was deposed in 1979 with the Islamic Revolution. So Khomeini called the abdication of the Shah in 1978. In January of 1979, the Shah fled, and Khomeini established an Islamic Republic, a theocracy. In July of 1979, the oil industry was renationalized, and you may recall, if you were living at that time and driving a car, first they took 52 Americans hostage, and we ended up with gasoline lines in this country like never before. Do you remember that? You could only line up for gas on even odd days, and then you could only get maybe 8 gallons of gas. So gasoline was rationed because of the Islamic Revolution. Iran's prosperity is based on oil production. To what extent? Oil accounts for 95% of its exports. It's the world's fourth largest producer of crude oil. Can you understand then why, with all that's going on in Iran, we might experience rising gas prices? Gas prices rose about 10% just in the last week. Now you understand why. What's going to happen? Who's going to defeat Iran? Who is going to defeat the vanguard of the Islamic Revolution that is intent on ruling the world? That's the question. And that brings us to Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Israel cannot be saved from annihilation, says an Iranian army commander. We believe this child-killing Israeli regime is nearing its end, he said. History shows that anyone who rules with oppression will not remain in power and will be annihilated ASAP. Yeah, that's the commander-in-chief of the Iranian army, Major General Adelrahim Mousavi. Israel will soon be met with strong and definite response for the killing of Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran, he said. Well, big words, strong words. And can you see, can you understand now why it might be necessary for the United States to elect a president who is not intimidated? A president who knows how to deal with deliberation and who has proven that during four previous years in which there were no wars? Might be something to consider, because what is happening so far is multiplying. Khamenei has called for total war. Total war against Israel, and by calling for total war against Israel, he's basically calling for total war against America. Unless perhaps you don't realize that for them, Israel is the little Satan, and the U.S., our country, is the great Satan. Now, from a moral and spiritual standpoint, maybe they're right. There's so much debauchery here. On the other hand, this was, Israel represented the a people group established by covenant with God, a chosen people. And in America, we have a very similar kind of founding, dedicated, built on the authority of Scripture. So from that standpoint, Israel is the little Satan and America is the great Satan, because these two countries, more than any other countries, symbolize in the world that which is exactly opposite of Ali Khamenei, the Ayatollah's viewpoint concerning the role and purpose of Iran. The leader, the head, the vanguard of the Islamic Revolution. So that being said, we need to understand that in what we're really looking at here is something much bigger. We're looking at something far bigger than just a few little skirmishes here and there. Now, if you have never read my book, King of the Mountain, you probably at this time should get it. It's a $20 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, and add $6 for postage and handling, or call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, King of the Mountain, the eternal, epic, and end time battle. That's what we're moving forward here. That's what's happening. That's what's being prepared. It's being prepared through the attack of Russia on Ukraine that is forcing the amalgamation of Russia with China and China with North Korea, and then also forming the final expression of the resurrected Roman Empire through the Western world. And now we have the kings of the South, i.e. the Islamic world. That's what we're dealing with here. They then become the major, one of the three major blocks of world antagonism that lead ultimately to the Battle of Armageddon. Now, we're not there yet, but we're moving that way. And if we don't understand what's going on here, we miss the point. We don't understand things from a biblical viewpoint. We're taking a secular viewpoint. And you cannot understand the dynamics of what are taking place with secular conversations. It's impossible. Get a copy of the book, King of the Mountain, because that's really what's happening. It's the battle for the King of the Mountain. What mountain is that? Oh, the Temple Mount. Did you know that Iran has already declared their intent to rule the world from the Temple Mount in Israel? But did you also know that the Pope, the papacy, has also declared its intent to rule the world from the Temple Mount, not from the Vatican? Did you know that? Huh. Maybe, just maybe, the Bible has something to say about what's going on here. Maybe if we really understood it that way, it wouldn't be so confusing. And we might just take more seriously the time that we're living in. What do you think? Again, the book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal, Epic, and End Time Battle. It lays it all out. Shows the trajectory from creation all the way to the end of the age. It's right there in the Bible. We just don't see it. We're blinded. Let's take the blinders off so that we can see things from God's viewpoint. And after all, his is the only viewpoint that really matters, isn't it? So if Khomeini is calling for total war against Israel, that means Khomeini is calling for total war against the God of creation. That's the implication of it. Do you then see how dramatic this is? And he's calling for total war against Christians, by definition. Because Khomeini heading up, the Ayatollah heading up the Islamic Shiite Empire, is calling for total war against the chosen people. Ah, this takes the whole idea, concept, of persecution to the next level, doesn't it? Now the persecution is not just to individuals. Now the persecution is to whole people groups. First Israel, massive anti-Semitism in the effort to annihilate Israel itself, which God says, if you mess with Israel, you've messed with the apple of my eye. Now that's, I wouldn't want to mess with the apple of God's eye, would you? If he's God. But what we have is a competition of gods now. Allah versus the God of the Bible. So you cannot say that Jews, Muslims, and Christians worship the same God. They do not. Not even close. Would the God of Islam want to destroy himself if God is also the God of Israel and Christians? Is God intent on destroying himself? You see the foolishness of this kind of thinking? Now, Khomeini says Israel won't last long. This comes from the Russian Times, by the way. Israel's supreme leader has vowed retaliation for West Jerusalem's incursion into Lebanon and the siege of Gaza. The surprise attack on Israel launched by Hamas last year was a logical and legal step, said Khomeini, towards defeating the malicious and cowardly Zionist regime. On Friday last week, in his first public sermon in nearly 5 years, Khomeini defended the actions against Israel by the axis of resistance, as he calls it, which includes the Lebanese-based Hezbollah and Palestinian group Hamas. This is the rule of Islam, he said, the rule of reason and international and global logic. The Palestinians are defending their land. Their defense is legitimate, and helping them is also logical and legal, said Khomeini. Problem is, it's not their land. Not according to the God of the Bible. Khomeini went on to say that Iran will perform any duty required to see Israel defeated. Sounds like a declaration of war, doesn't it? That's where we are, friend. Netanyahu now has warned of a preemptive attack as Tehran speaks of Israel's annihilation. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned Iran and Hezbollah of preemptive attacks while Tehran spoke of the Jewish state's annihilation and the region braced for possibility of a second direct confrontation between the two arch foes. We are prepared, said Netanyahu, both defensively and offensively. He stated that during a visit today, actually. I know that the citizens of Israel are concerned, and I ask one thing of you. Be patient and level-headed, he said. We are striking our enemies and are determined to defend ourselves. White House Press Secretary Jean-Pierre told reporters that American officials were urging the de-escalation and that was our focus. In other words, Joe Biden is not prepared to deal with this situation. He's pleading, begging, don't do this, don't do this. Let's be nice. Doesn't work that way, friends. Not if you understand Islam, and if you understand Khomeini, doesn't work that way. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Today we're talking about the situation with Iran, with its continued breathing of threatenings and slaughterings against Israel, and then by implication against the United States, and anyone who would stand with Israel and the United States. You see, Israel is the odd man out in the world. The United States is, by implication of its support for Israel, somewhat of the odd man out in the world as well. Because if you support Israel, by definition, you're not with the rest of the world. But it's because of America's power that we get by with it. But we're losing that power because of the pusillanimous attitudes and behavior of the current presidential administration. They're not dealing with Iran from strength. They're dealing with it like a crying little kid. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. Be nice. Don't escalate. That's how they're dealing. Trump says, no, you can't deal that way. These people only deal from force. Our security, he says, is based upon strength. Just like Ronald Reagan said, peace through strength. But the rest of the Western world has adopted a very different viewpoint. The European Union has a motto, waging peace. Not waging war, waging peace. But that's exactly what the Bible says is not going to happen. Jeremiah the prophet said, men will cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. In other words, the pretense of peace will actually lead to destruction. It's not going to work that way. Because unless you love the God of creation, the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself, there will be no peace. And Yeshua, Jesus Christ, came to be the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there would be no end. Upon the throne of David, not the throne of Khomeini, but the throne of David in Israel, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. You see, we have to take the whole of the Bible together because it shows us what God's viewpoint is. So Netanyahu, as a human being, stands in a very difficult place. He's actually having to stand against the world, against the Western world that purports to be his ally and is not his ally because, in fact, all they want to do is try to make peace with those who intend to destroy Israel and have declared so continually and still do today. So Benjamin Netanyahu says, look, we're just not going to play this game, and we're not going to submit even to the President of the United States or the United States State Department or anybody else whining and crying about how they want to avoid this and want to avoid that. No, he says, we're right in the midst of it. This is what we have to do in order to preserve our existence. That's what you call an existential moment. Believe it or not, up until this time, Benjamin Netanyahu was being said to lose support in Israel. Well, guess what? Benjamin Netanyahu now has gained unprecedented support in Israel. Why? Because he's not playing the game and he's actually taking leadership. And the people are seeing that. Does that mean that everybody in Israel is on board with Netanyahu? No, because they have the peaceniks there too. They have the crying liberals there too, just like we have in this country. But Netanyahu says no. I was elected to protect this country and these people, and I'm not going to play games with this anymore, even if I have to ignore Joe Biden and his crying. The U.S. National Security Communication Advisor John Kirby said, we're working really, really hard with intense diplomacy to try to bring about and stop escalation. Intense diplomacy. Well, diplomacy works in some situations, but this is not one of them. This is not one of them. Iran has a religious reason that is commanding everything they do, everything they think, and everything that they do. And they must destroy Israel in order to accomplish their purpose to establish an Islamic caliphate over the world. And by definition, implication, they also must destroy the U.S. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken told reporters yesterday that American officials had emphasized de-escalation in its intense diplomacy. And it communicated the message directly to Iran as well as to Israel. All this is, friends, this so-called diplomacy is like purported leaders coming with tears in their eyes and saying, please, please, please don't do this. Please, while the parties, one is seeking to defend itself against absolute, unmitigated declaration of war from Iran, there's no negotiation. You cannot enter into negotiation. The only thing you can do is win the battle. And some kind of war is necessary. I'm not a warmonger. I believe in peace through strength. But because we played this game for so long, and compromise after compromise, and Joe Biden has fed the Khomeini's economy with billions upon billions of dollars to enable him to continue to carry out all of these orchestrations through Hamas and Gaza and Hezbollah and the Houthis. I mean, we financed this through the current political administration in this country. There is no demonstration of strength. So, we have provided a measure of defense to Israel, but we still are whining and crying as if somehow you can negotiate with a people group, or actually a government. The Iranian Revolution, Islamic Revolution, you can't negotiate with them. There is no place for negotiation. There's no place for giving up a little and giving here a little and so on. That's what negotiation does. They're not interested in giving up. They're interested in gaining more ground to destroy. And until we recognize that, which Benjamin Netanyahu has now recognized, Israel is going to be on their own. And that's where Benjamin Netanyahu finds himself today. Estranged even primarily from the Biden administration. Biden and Kamala Harris may say, oh, yeah, we're in support of Israel. That's definite. But when Kamala Harris came out on television in an interview and was asked, is Benjamin Netanyahu our ally? She refused to answer the question. Why? Because she does not agree with Benjamin Netanyahu and his stance. She's part of the whining and crying, please, please, be nice. Can't we just de-escalate? Can't we just be nice here? It's not. It doesn't work that way, my friend. Let's be honest about it. And that's why Iran's intelligence community is fearful of Mossad in Israel, because they realize that Israel is capable of more than they're capable of. And they've seen what Israel has been able to do quickly over the past 30 days. And they're terrified. At the same time, they're not giving up their vision. That is, Iran, the vanguard of the Islamic Revolution, not giving up its vision to become global ruler of Muslims. Khomeini's primary focus is promoting Shiaism, fostering the Shia crescent, and nurturing a perilous transnational terrorist network across Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen in order to drive by force or threat of force the complete domination of the world to a Shiite Muslim caliphate. Now, that's going to bring Iran into conflict with Saudi Arabia. It brings Iran into conflict with Mr. Erdogan in Turkey because they represent Sunni Islam or another version of Islam. So they all want to be king of the mountain. Can you see how this works? They want to pull the other one down so they can become king of the mountain. But ultimately, birds of a feather flock together. Islam then is Israel's ultimate enemy and America's ultimate enemy in the battle for king of the mountain. Then the whole rest of the story has to be understood about the battle for king of the mountain, because that means that somehow the Western world, in its movement toward a new global order, becomes another force seeking to rule the world. And that is not acceptable to God. Get the book, friends. King of the Mountain, the Eternal Epic and End Time Battle. A $20 book, yours for $15, on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. And by the way, if you are in Massachusetts or Connecticut or New York, our breakfast is set for November 2nd, Saturday, November 2nd, from 8 to 11:30. If you have not signed up yet, you need to do so, because the deadline for making your reservations is October 15th. Do it today. Don't delay. Now, pray for Israel. Pray for wisdom in our country. Pray for our elections coming up. These are difficult times. God knows that, and so do we. Stand strong, my friends, in the power of His might.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.